Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this show was brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit them at themodabakeshop.com, where they have all kinds of free patterns and tips and things like that. My first guest, I am so excited. I have talked to Lisa Gibson of Oliver and S before. She is so chock full of fabulous information and has all kinds of like new things going on. So I'm really excited that she's here to chat with me about it. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Pat, it's good to talk to you again. How's everything going with you?
Oh, I am just wonderful, wonderful. It was so much fun to go out there and look around to see what's new in the land of Oliver and S. You have all kinds of stuff. I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about clothing, because don't you think it's coming back for quilters?
Yeah, very much so. I feel like so many, across the board, I feel like so many people are sort of looking around and saying, gee, you know, I think I'm ready to sew for myself. People who have never tried it, people who haven't done it for years, and I'm really excited about it. It's really fun to sort of feel that vibe happening again.
Yeah, I am too, because, you know, I learned to sew by making clothing. I make clothing badly.
Oh, no kidding.
That's how I learned to sew. It was all about clothing. I was not very good. Now, you actually come from a clothing design background. That's how you started, right?
That's right. Yeah, I have a degree in apparel design from the Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York. Yeah, and I initially, before I entered this part of the industry, I designed apparel for Ralph Lauren and Tommy Hilfiger and a few other companies in there, too. So that's very much my background. Yeah, yeah. And my mom sewed for me when I was growing up. She sewed for me and all my sisters. So I, you know, my whole exposure to sewing was through apparel initially. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mine was like home ec class, you know, where everybody hated the teacher but me. And ninth grade home ec sewing, smocking.
I love it. So many people had bad experiences with home ec. It's too bad. You know, I hope we can change that.
I know. I know. Now tell me, let's go. I know I'm going to jump around here a little bit because you have so much going on that I know we won't hit it all. But first, tell me a little bit about your line of clothing. You have children's clothing, which you've had for a while now. But tell me about the line of clothing for me, the line I can make for me to wear.
Well, we haven't even announced it yet. So this is actually the first I'm really talking about it. Next month, we are going to officially announce and release three new patterns that will be very simple apparel patterns. And the idea is that they are they're more forgiving patterns. They're not sacks. They're not shapeless. They definitely have a nice shape to them. But they're the type of pattern that is easier to fit to your body, and it's more flattering even if you don't get a perfect fit. So my thinking is, and it's also, they're, all of them are very, very easy to sew. My thinking is start with something that you know you're going to be successful with and, you know, start easy and then work your way up. So these will be patterns that they're cute. There's a tunic. One of the patterns is a dress and a blouse, and then there's a very simple skirt. And they're all quick, easy patterns to make. And we give a lot of fit instruction within the pattern. So they're a little less intimidating, I think, than just jumping into, you know, something with zippers and buttonholes and things like that.
Now, where will these be branded? Because you actually work under several different names.
We have so many brands.
I know. So you have your fingers out there doing a lot of things. So what name will these set of patterns be under?
So, you know, our kids' clothing is under the Oliver and S brand, and that was our very first brand that we launched. And when I launched that, I didn't incorporate as Oliver and S. I decided that I wanted to have a series of different brands that we could do, but we incorporated under Liesel & Company, and I never intended to use it, but it just seemed to kind of make sense for this. So they're branded under Liesl & Company, and they'll be digital patterns, which I think is a lot of fun. We've really had a lot of success with the digital patterns. People love how we do them because it's not I don't know if you've ever used a digital pattern, but you have to tape pieces of paper together in order to make your pattern pieces. And sometimes they can be an absolute nightmare. They can take over your living room or your sewing space or wherever you are. But the way we've been able to do this, you're only taping together the pieces themselves. You're not taping together a giant sheet of paper. So it works out really nicely, and people love them because they get them instantly when they order them. So it's a really good way of the instant gratification. You know, I feel like sewing something, and there it is. It's waiting for
there
you.
There it is.
So, yeah,
and, you know,
it works
and it's
out
nice
really well.
Too for, you know, if people are remote or they're international, the digital is just awesome. No, I haven't done clothing digital.
Absolutely.
I've looked at a few, but I haven't actually printed them and tried to tape them together. So I really like that you've thought through that for us and giving us an easy way. That's perfect.
Yeah. We try to keep things as simple and straightforward as they can be. So I love how my husband actually is my business partner, and he does all the layout of those PDF patterns. And I love how he sort of came around to this really unique way of doing it that people just constantly are telling us they love. So it's kind of fun.
Now, one of the things that you and I talked about before you came on is you were saying that you did a little blog post about sort of color blocking. And I thought, oh, that sounds intriguing. What does she mean by that? And you did this one over on your Oliver and S blog. But tell me a little bit about the color blocking and what that does.
Color blocking it's very popular in fashion right now. And if you're looking in stores and shopping, you'll see a lot of it. It's really one garment made up of more than one colors, and it can even be include prints in there, but it's generally large blocks of color. So, for example, you might have a dress where the top of the dress, the bodice, is made, let's just say, pink, and then the skirt is red or something like that. There are fun and extremely easy ways to take an existing pattern that is not designed to be color blocked and to color block it yourself. You can add seams in various places and cut the pattern apart and then just add seam allowances on and sew it back together. I've been having a lot of fun with it, and so have a lot of our customers. They've been taking a lot of our patterns, and we had a pattern, for example, this last spring that came out, the roller skate dress. That's a really, really simple, really quick dress. But our customers have just been taking this all over the place and color blocking chevrons into it and, adding different tiers of color to it. And it's a really easy way to customize a pattern and to make it your own. And it's very effective. I mean, it's just really, it's got a high achievement factor at the end of it, I think. So that's one of the techniques that we've been talking a lot about lately and working with a lot. And I think people are really enjoying it.
Yeah, I like your post for people who want to go find it was July 15th, 2013, since they might be listening to this later. And it has a lot of little diagrams, and it shows you all different ways to lay out the color blocking. And then this is on a children's dress. And so you've got a couple of them actually made up. Oh, they're so cute.
Right. Oh, thank you. Yeah, and it's completely appropriate for women's wear as well. I mean, you can cut a sleeve and color block your sleeve, so maybe the bottom of the sleeve is one color and the top is another color. It's just a lot of fun to play with it. So,
we've
been doing a lot of that lately.
Ooh.
I'm glad.
Yes, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Another thing that you told me you were doing personally, that you were doing a lot of smocking. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned that that's like one of the first things I learned when I made clothing was smocking. Where are you putting smocking?
Oh, I love smocking. Well, I've been teaching a class, and I just put a workshop up on Creative Bug also, which is where you can take online classes. It's a little smocked necklace, and it's a really nice way of trying smocking without committing to a really big project or taking on something that is really time-consuming. It's just a cute little, it's almost like a fan shape that hangs on a chain, and it's pretty, and it's quick and easy. So that's where I've been kind of playing with smocking. And then, of course, I have to try it in apparel as well. You know, once I realized how easy it is to do, it's basically just embroidery. Then, of course, I had to try putting it on a few different things. So I've been having a lot of fun with it, yeah. Yeah, and with other ways of getting a texture.
I never thought of it as a necklace. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's fun, and people just love it. It's a really cute little project. It's really, yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
So, yeah, you mentioned that was on Creative Bug, which is an online teaching where you have quite a few classes. And you've also been teaching in person. So tell me about the last thing you were
at. Oh, let's see. Weekend before this, I was in Philadelphia for the Modern Quilt Guild Sewdown. I was one of the guest instructors for that. And that was also working with texture and textiles. I was teaching... We were working on quilt blocks and using gathering and shirring and, flounces and pleats and tucks and things like that to add texture to the fabric before you even get to the quilting stage. You're still in the patchwork stage. And it was really fun. I was showing some dressmaking techniques for, like a slash and spread, which is where you're cutting a pattern piece apart and then opening it up to add extra fullness and then sewing it back up, but with gathers in order to cinch up all the extra fabric. And it was just really fun to demonstrate this for people and show them how they could do this themselves. And they would just get all excited and go off and make all these really creative things. It was a lot of fun to see what people did with the technique once I sort of showed them how to do it. So that was a great time. Good weekend.
You know, you sound like you would be a lot of fun to take a class with. You know, you go.
I love to teach. I really enjoy it. I think it's one of my favorite things to do. And I haven't done a lot of it lately because my daughter is young, and I hate to leave her and my husband for long periods of time. But now that she's getting a little older, now I feel a little bit more comfortable traveling. And I'm definitely doing more of it, more teaching. I think it's my favorite thing to do, actually. Yeah.
Well, people can find you. Where can they find you to get your info? And then we'll have to say goodbye.
Oh, okay. You know, I try to keep everything up to date over at Oliver and Est on our blog. I just over the weekend announced some upcoming teaching gigs. And we announce new patterns, and that's where most of the information comes. And, of course, our Facebook page as well. But oliverandest.com is really the spot to find me.
All righty. Lisa, I'm going to have you back again. Will you do that?
I would love to anytime, Pat. Yeah, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Perfect, perfect. We'll have you come back and talk about some more things. We'll be right back after
the
break.
Take care.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. Visit motifabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Break down fabric selection into steps. First, choose a main print from which you can draw inspiration for the colors. Then, choose a background, medium and small prints, and solids or solid-looking fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Barbara Klein is here, and she comes from a long line of quilters, and they have given her this rich quilting heritage that she has just taken and run with. I am so excited to have her on and talk about her books and her quilts, because they are just extraordinary. Barbara, it's nice to meet you. Thanks for being on the show.
Yes. Oh, what a privilege to be on your show.
This is so exciting. You know, Barbara, there are no quilters in my family. I mean, can you even believe a family with no quilters?
Not hardly.
So did you actually grow up with, like, sleeping under baby quilts? I mean, can you remember a time like that, you know, like your first quilts, just knowing that they're always there?
No, not really. My mother never was a quilter. It was my grandmother who was a big quilter. And it was very important for her to teach her grandchildren how to hand quilt. And so she was the one that taught me how to hand quilt. And then throughout the years, when I was in fifth grade, my parents bought a fabric store.
Oh,
and
my.
So it was at
how
the
exciting.
Fabric store. Yeah, it really was. And so I remember working there in the fifth grade, putting out merchandise. And so it was through them teenage years that my love of fabric really began to grow.
And did you, when they had the fabric store, was that like for garments and quilting, or was it a quilt shop?
It was really a store that catered to the Mennonite clientele. So, but then it also had fabrics too, which was quilting fabrics. Mm-hmm. So, and it was very small. And throughout the years, they kept growing. They moved about 4 and 5 times. And so the store is quite large today. I still work there, but my parents don't own it.
Ah, so you're still working in a quilt shop. I think that is just marvelous. I mean, I wish I worked in one some days, Barbara. You know, it'd be nice to just go in and pet the fabric.
Well, what's really nice is when you can go to work and have fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So tell me, Barbara, are the quilts you're making now different than the quilts you started with?
Not necessarily. I probably did a little more traditional when I started out, and as the years go by, they're probably getting a little more modern. It's when I started to realize that I could create designs in different block layouts that really got the juices in my head going, so that's when quilt making really came alive to me.
So when you started playing around, when you say you like, you know, more than one block, are you combining blocks then for your quilts? Is that sort of your goal?
You can design a quilt like in a Lone Star layout, and you can break down the diamond that is in the Lone Star and create more designs. And so that is what my first book, Starstruck Quilts, is basically based on, is Lone Stars, but then how you can create designs inside of the Lone Stars. And then you can do it with triangles, you can do it with diamonds, any type of a layout, you can create more designs.
Well, tell me a little bit about the most current book, which is The Diamond Chain. The cover is amazing, Barbara. That quilt, it just knocks me over. It is so gorgeous.
Okay, this is a triangle-based quilt, and there's only 2 different blocks that you need to piece in this, believe it or not.
Oh, that's hard
and
to believe.
So, yeah, one of them has the diamonds that run through it, and the other has one pinwheel blade on it. And
okay.
So what creates the motion in this quilt is you have the diamonds that are running through the stars, and then you also have pinwheels. And so two motions going on there.
So how did you come up with this? This is really creative. This is really different.
I usually design an electric quilt, and so I'm playing with my electric quilt, and sometimes I might have an idea. I'm not sure if it's going to work, so I might have a piece of paper and kind of graph it out and say, yeah, I got that. Yes, this is what I need to do. So I transfer it into my electric quilt. And then by throwing blocks into different layouts, you can just come up with fantastic designs.
So no, that's, I like that's kind the of quilt what also happens. Because it lays everything out, so it makes you understand the construction of the quilt, because the quilt looks complex. But in the book, you've done a beautiful job showing the components, so they're not intimidating.
Well, thank you. C&T has done a fantastic job. I really enjoy working with C&T Publishing.
Yeah, they're good partners, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you were making the diamond, what's the title here? I've just lost it, Barbara. The diamond quilts here.
Diamond chain quilts?
Yes. What was your favorite one to make in the book?
Probably my favorite one was Shadows of Dusk, and I think that one is because I used a variegated fabric, and I wanted the stars to shine to be more outstanding, and so by placing this variegated fabric in it, so that the stars would jump out, and just seeing it come alive.
That one was fun when you're actually creating it then, to sort of watch that,
yes.
The variations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The variations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So Barbara, how do you stay passionate about quilting since you've been around fabric and working with quilts for so long? How do you keep it fresh for yourself?
That's not a problem because I always... I'm always wanting to make another quilt. I have another one I want to make. There's a design in the back of my head all the time. I mean, before I get the next one done, I'm ready to piece another. So it just comes.
So you've never really felt any place or time where you're like, oh, gosh, you know, I need a break from it or I don't know what to make. It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of interested for the diamond chain quilts. Is color placement super important? You know, how do you go about figuring that out?
Yes, it is. And there again, with my electric quilt program, I often will put in colors that I might be going with, but I don't necessarily do the same fabric. It's more a color value. And your value is what is important. And there is one quilt in the book where my diamonds did not show up very well. And so when I got done, I'm like, now what am I going to do?
Oh.
And so I got... a cord, pearl cotton, and zigzagged over the top and outlined the diamonds. But there again, it's another technique that is taught in the book on, you know, changing whatever you're making, another, you know, creating another technique. And so maybe you would call it a mistake, but at the same time, then it enhanced my quilt. So
it's a design element.
Yes, it's a design element. Mm-hmm, right. And then I also play some with nylon netting overlays. And so the overlays create another depth or another value, I should say. They create another value. So instead of picking one fabric, you automatically have two fabrics with an overlay on it. And so there's a few quilts in the book that have overlays, and that's how depths would be created.
So now what fiber do you use for the overlay?
I often use tulle.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's there's others out there. The only thing you have to watch for is that you don't iron them too hot because they will melt. So you have to be careful with that.
Do you put, like, a pressing sheet over top of it?
I usually don't. I just put put my iron back, and I have melted them before, so because I forgot that the iron was up, so maybe that's what I should do.
Oh, you're so, funny. Yeah, it's like, do what I say, not what I do, right?
right. Mm-hmm.
So Barbara, you have a blog also called quiltinggal.blogspot.com, and your website for people to find you is delightfulpiecing.com, because you do travel and do some teaching.
Yes, I do. I do. I teach different classes on different patterns that I have, and also lecture demos where I take as many quilts as possible. And I travel all over the United States. And I've been up in Canada as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I have to tell people that your whole family is creative. I know that you have a really special retreat that you do with your family every year, and we don't have time to talk about it, but hopefully they'll start following your blog, where they can see, like today, your daughters are making these extraordinary cakes and quilts and your projects. You are a busy, busy girl.
I enjoy life.
Well, definitely, definitely can tell that, Barbara. I am so excited to have talked to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I've enjoyed it very much.
Great. Everybody needs to go visit Barbara Klein, see her books, and create one of her extraordinary quilts. We're going to be right back after this break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Use extra quilt binding to frame the label. Because the label frame and quilt bindings match, the label doesn't appear to be an afterthought.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
What other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am really excited to have Amber on. She creates that one shabby chick. typepad.com, and you can see all her really super, super cool projects. Amber lives in Hawaii, which I always find is so exciting in and of itself, but I think she grew up there, so it's probably not to her. But to me, it's like, oh, like paradise, quilting in the sunshine on the beach. Don't you think that would be fun? But she's going to appear beyond today to talk about other things besides the beach. Thanks for being here, Amber.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, am I right that you grew up in Hawaii?
I did. I was born and raised here, so yeah. I've lived here my whole life, pretty much.
My sister-in-law grew up there, too, and she lives in San Francisco now. But, I'm in beach mode because I'm in denial that I won't, you know, be on the beach right now. So, so Amber, what
part
of... Yes,
you can go to the beach all year long.
Yeah, that's like, it's like so sad, you know, it's like you have a rough life. I know, because I look at your blog and I see the beach on your site, you know, it's sort of like, oh, it's the beach.
Yeah.
So tell me what part of quilt making you love the best. I think it's the same as mine.
Yes, it is. I love picking out fabric.
Yes.
So I think that's why I have so many UFOs.
Don't we quilt just so we can have fabric? Isn't that That's why I quilt.
I think that's why I, yep, that's what we do. We're hoarders, yeah. Hoarders of fabric.
Yes. So tell me what kind of fabric is sort of appealing to you at the moment? Is there something out there, like every time you see it, you're like, oh my gosh, I need a whole stash of it?
I don't know. I love new lines. Like whenever someone comes out with a new line, I'm like, oh, I need to have that. but I guess text fabrics, text prints lately, I've really been drawn to those. So any ones. So I like incorporating them into all different projects.
I love words on fabric. I could not, you know, I would put them in every project. I don't, but I should. So when you're looking, I know, when you're looking for text fabric, how do you find it? I know there's a lot of like Japanese prints that have text. Do you lean that way or do you just look for whatever that appeals?
Well, a lot of like mainstream designers are coming out with text prints, but before they were, yes, I would look on Etsy and you just Google like Japanese text fabrics and they have all different kinds of, you know, really cool ones. But a lot of them are linen based, so but I use them like in my iPad covers and stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. So what do you treat linen fabrics any differently than the cottons?
No. Most of them are like a linen cotton blend, so they're okay. You know, they're fairly easy to work with, so. Mm-hmm. But I just use them the same as regular quilting cotton.
And, you know, people, if they haven't visited you yet, you do a lot of pieces that you sell in your Etsy shop. So they can go and check that out because I'm, like, always coveting all your cute things there. You make really cute projects.
Thank you.
I was reading on your post just, you know, the other day where you were talking about starting to feel kind of cluttered, which I could really relate to. What does that feel like to you when you feel cluttered?
Oh, my poor husband, I get crazy. I just feel like maybe we have too much stuff. That's how it feels when we're cluttered. And so I feel like I need to maybe rearrange a room or get rid of some stuff. So that's kind of how I usually feel. It usually doesn't relate to fabric, but other parts of my home.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. It's like I like to be tidy, and I don't like to be overflowing. It's just,
yes.
Yeah, because when you work in your space all the time, it's different than when you go maybe to an office and you come back. You know, you're there 24/7. You see it all the time.
Yes.
And you also,
definitely.
So you have a lot of, you have children, and so
yes,
you have their
four.
Stuff. Yeah. And are they sewing with you?
No, I think the girls, I need to teach them how to sew, and maybe the boys too, but no one has expressed like a major interest in sewing yet. So I need to teach them though.
Yeah. Still hoping for that, huh? Just,
yeah.
It might come.
But then sometimes it'll cut into my sewing time.
Right. You know, sometimes when they get their own place, that's what you hear. You know, they get their
yeah.
own place, and then they're like, Mom, I want to learn.
Teach me how to sew, yeah.
Now, speaking of words, you have been making these incredibly adorable pillows with sayings on them. And the text, the words that you're putting there are not, you know, you're cutting them out and putting them on. Can you tell me what your process is? Because they're so cool.
Well, one of the ways I get the words is I have this fabric that I have hoarded forever from Cosmo Cricut, and it has letters actually on it that I cut out. And otherwise, if I don't like maybe the fabric that is on those letters, I'll just cut out my own letters. I usually make a template like out of paper and then trace it onto the fabric and cut them out that way.
And do you have like a fusible on the back then where you fuse it
yes,
to your...
Yes, I do. And yes, and the that book, Pillow Pop, I have a pattern in there of my word pillow, and that explains like my whole process of how I go about. But yeah, I have a fusible that I put back and I cut out the words and then iron them onto the fabric.
Yeah, they're so cute. You've got all different size letters and sort of they're almost like different fonts. And then you're outlining them.
Yeah, it's
super fun. Yeah. So how are you outlining them?
I outline it just with my free motion foot, and I use a black thread, and I just trace. It's like I'm tracing around the letters with thread.
And do you find that that's
so it's like your free motion quilting?
Yeah. So the edges stay down for you, okay? With your
there's a little bit of fray, but it's not bad. And I usually outline them a few times, and the fusible holds really well.
Yeah, because I like that look that it gives it. It's very unique.
Yeah, I like it too.
So what else is going on at your blog? You have some tutorials. Can you tell me a little bit about what people can find?
I have a few tutorials. I have an iPad cover, which is fairly popular, I'd say. I think it's my most popular tutorial. And I have a guitar strap tutorial on there. I've seen people make some really, really interesting guitar straps. There's a few on there. I can't think at the moment what other ones I have on there. But
so what's the you have some tips for doing like a guitar strap, or could you use it as a camera strap too?
You could. You could just make it a little bit skinnier. The guitar strap, I actually use a pre-made guitar strap. I take the, the pieces off of the ends, and I sew them back on. For a camera strap, you could do the same thing with your old camera strap. You just unpick the leather bits and sew it back on. Or when I make camera straps, I just cut out a piece out of vinyl or leather and sew it onto the end of the camera strap.
So you're sewing leather, Amber. It's like, wow.
A little bit, yeah. it's not super thick. So, and I have a semi-industrial machine. I have a Juki, so it sews through pretty thick things.
So do you have to, like, pre-punch holes in the leather, or how's that work?
The guitar straps actually have the holes already punched into them because they're on the pre-made guitar straps, but the camera straps, I usually use vinyl, and it's a little bit thinner, so you just have to run them through, but I don't pre-punch the holes.
Okay. All right. And you actually have a sample of that. You show it under your machine. Do you have to use a bigger eye needle?
I don't. I just use a regular needle.
Okay. And like a 50-weight thread, or do you use thicker thread?
No, I don't. I just use regular thread. Whatever I have on my machine, I think it's the standard 50 weight.
Okay. Oh, well, you just make it sound so easy, and they're so cute. You got to have cuter stuff, right? You also do, you do a lot of straight line quilting.
I do.
Do you have any tips? Do you know how sometimes, you know, people straight line quilt and like the whole piece starts to like lean to the left or lean to the right?
Yeah.
What are some tips?
I know with
that?
My Bernina, it was easier because I had a guide on my walking foot that I used. I need to get one for my Juki. I don't have one. So my lines are a little bit crooked when I use my Juki. But I'd just say, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah. So when you're using a guide, is that one, you mean the kind of like that little arm that goes in the side that everybody has that
we
don't know what it's for?
I love that. Yes.
And it kind of just hooks into the foot area.
It does, yeah. And then you can just use your other line as a guide.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, when we were talking, you know, your business is your finished goods. Besides, you design things, you know, like you have patterns and, you know, things in people's books. But your finished goods are something that you've done for a long time. And you mentioned that you have a one that's kind of an unexpectedly popular item. tell me
it's
about
so
this.
So my dad makes custom knives for a living, and he was wanting me to make a little knife pouch for his knives, so he'd give it away when he sells his knives. And I started making then his customers started buying them from me, and it's become so popular. Those knife collectors are hilarious. They get so excited when I email them samples of fabric.
Oh.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
And so what kind of fabric is popular with custom knife collectors? You know,
the superhero fabric are very popular.
Really?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And the Lush Gear, the new line by Moda. Well, they reprinted it because it kind of looks camouflage-y. That's really popular. But, yeah, those superhero fabrics are, they can't get enough of them. It's pretty funny.
Hot, hot, hot for superheroes. So, they're going to have.
I know.
Who would have thought? You know, it's like you are like the guru of custom knife pouches now. It's.
I just made a six knife pouch that this weekend because someone asked me about if I could make one up. So I made one up and I've already sold a few of them. It's very funny.
You're going to have to start whole other site for custom knife cases.
For all those knife collectors, yeah.
All those knife collectors. How interesting.
Yes.
What a nice partnership, though, to do with your dad.
I know. It's really fun. My husband keeps hoping somehow he'll be able to retire. I told him I'm not making that many. But, yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah, maybe you need to make the knives to go in them now, too. So I bet
I would actually be able to retire because those things are expensive.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Anything custom like that. My neighbor... My neighbor's dad makes custom gear shift knobs.
Oh, yeah.
And one of his is in the Smithsonian.
The material is so expensive.
Yeah, they're fancy dancy. Goodness. Okay, Amber, this has been just so much fun. I love
Thank you so much.
Everybody must visit you and hang out and see all the cool things and look
yes,
at the beach.
Come to Hawaii.
That's right. Come to Hawaii. We're going to do, beach party with Amber.
We need to have a quilt show here.
That's right. Perfect. On the beach, of course. I'm going to give your website, oneshabbychick.tightpat.com. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you so much, Pat. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. If there's just a bit of thread left on a spool or bobbin after you've finished sewing, thread it onto a hand sewing needle. Then you'll have a threaded needle ready to sew on buttons or work on other hand sewing projects. Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines. Go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I'm really excited to have Diane Gilliland of Crafty Pod. That's her site that you can visit. And she writes about all kinds of different crafts, not just quilting. And I think that's fabulous because so many of us do many, many things. We're not just quilters. She's also a co-author of a new book called Quilting Happiness. And that's why she's on today, because I wanted to find out what her part was in this book, because it just is really an incredible book. It's a lot of fun. And so, Diane, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate the kind words about the book, and I'm super impressed that you pronounced my last name right. Very few people do that.
Oh, Well, I went looking for one for some place where you pronounced it online. Can you believe that? And I found one.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes, I'm a good researcher, Diane.
Yes, you are.
Oh, so Diane, tell me first why you started blogging.
You know, I started blogging kind of on a whim. It was back in 2005, and I had started podcasting a little bit before that, and I needed a place for the podcast to live online because it was sort of before the days of iTunes. And it was really a very random occurrence. I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to blog about. I just knew it would be crafts. And, you know, that blog has gone on to completely transform my creative and professional lives to this very day.
You know, I love it because you not only talk about crafts and talk about other designers, but you also talk about the business side occasionally, which I'm always interested because we can always learn something. What is your favorite part of your blog?
Well, that's a good question. I enjoy all of it. I do enjoy producing content. I'm just a big planner, and so for me, a lot of the fun is deciding what am I going to blog about next week and next month and what am I going to do for Christmas coming up, you know, and sort of making all those plans. I also like having the opportunity to just be very real with my readers because I think, you know, there's a lot of excitement around the idea of being a professional crafter, and I love being a professional crafter. And there's plenty of reality to it as well as there is with anything. So I think it's nice to have a platform to just share those realities and say, hey, you know, it has ups and downs like any career you might choose, but there's still pretty good ups and downs, and here's how I've dealt with them, and maybe there's something in there for you that will help you. It's just nice to kind of give my experience in hopes that it'll be useful for someone else.
Neat, neat, neat. I do like it. I love your blog. Now, Diane,
thank you.
Tell me, how did you and Christina Lane decide to write a book together? Because you both you were going to talk about your book primarily now, but your part and Christina's part are really separate. You both came into it with very distinct things that you would contribute. How did that whole thing come about?
It took 3 years, and it was neither of our idea at the outset. So 3 years ago, my book agent contacted me and said, there's this publisher that I work with all the time, and they want to do a book called Quilting Happiness that will be a quilting book, but it will also be kind of a creativity book, and it will help people explore all the ways that quilting enhances life and is sort of a deep and meaningful craft. And she said, I think you'd be great to write it. Why don't you take a shot at writing a proposal? And I was so excited about this idea because one of the things I dearly love to write about is creativity and the act of making things and how that enhances our lives in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it didn't take very long of trying to cook up a book proposal before I really had to come to terms with the fact that I don't have the skills to write a book. I could do great with the happiness part, but I don't have the quilting part down enough. So I took it back to my aunt and said, you know, I know this great local quilter. Her name's Christina Lane. She's amazing with quilting. I think she'll do it. So about a month went by, and I heard from my agent yet again, and my agent said, you know, Christina's made a gorgeous collection of quilts for this book, and she's finding that she really doesn't like writing about the happiness part at all. So I think you need to just put your heads together because that'll be the right combination, and it turned out that it was. So we spent the better part of last year making Quilting Happiness together. Christina did all the quilting, and I took care of the happiness.
The tagline, Diane, is projects, inspirations, and ideas to make quilting more joyful. That is an exciting tagline for me because I want people to be happy with what they do for fun. And your part in it where you brought the happiness part. Now, explain to people what that means because this is so unique. Your book is so unique. I don't think it's there are too many written with the kind of things that you've added. So tell me a little more detail.
You bet. Yeah, I don't think there's too many creative craft books like this out there yet, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to do this one. We look at the elements of happiness in quilting from four main perspectives. So first we talk about quilting inspirations, which has to do with, you know, helping you understand better what inspires you and maybe what colors and shapes and symbols are speaking to you most. You know, what are your creative habits and how can you work within those to create more? We also talk about quilting for yourself, which, of course, has to do with making things just for you. And it also has to do with, you know, what is the value that your quilting time brings to you? You know, what is quilting a relaxing activity? Is a learning activity? You know, what is quilting for you? We also talk about quilting for others. So that would be making quilted gifts and how to do that effectively and how to even work with your gift recipients maybe to make gifts that they'll really love and use. And then, of course, quilting for others also has to do with charity quilting. And then we also have a section on quilting together, which has, you know, manifestations in maybe teaching someone how to quilt or getting your family involved in a project that you're doing or forming a quilting group or joining a quilting guild and how that connection with other quilters enriches your experience. So we look at it from a lot of different angles.
Let's give an example, because you have all these just super little like sidebars, and then sometimes there's a whole page of little, I don't know, diameter, like exercises you might call them, or thoughts, or, you know, things to really make you think. Tell me a little bit about the one called Morning Seeing.
I'd love to. I love that one. Morning Seeing is, it's a creative exercise. It's a very fun, simple practice, and your listeners can do it right now. They don't even need the book. What you do is you commit yourself to first thing in the morning, either before or after coffee, that part's up to you. Every morning, you just write down five things that you notice around you. You don't overthink that or try to look at anything specific. It's just what sort of seeps into your consciousness first thing in your day. And you do this little practice for 30 days, and then you look at the list. Because if you do the math, right, 30 days, you notice five things a day, that's 150 things you've noticed. That's a pretty good little database in which you should be able to see some trends. You may see certain colors emerging over and over again, or you may notice that you're really attracted to a particular shape. You didn't realize that before. Or maybe you'll notice that there's a symbology, like teapots always come to your eye. You hadn't been aware of that. And then how might you incorporate that into a quilt project? It's just a neat window into your creative makeup. And it changes over time, too. So you can do that exercise at any time and kind of take a read of where you are right now creatively.
I think that would be really fun, you know, to do. I mean, even if you didn't do it for 30 days, even if you just did it for a week, you'd learn a lot, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You know, when I did the exercise for 30 days most recently, the thing I discovered was that the majority of things I noticed were things that needed to be finished or cleaned or organized or acted upon in some way, which was really good to pick up on because, of course, inspiration is about taking in the world around you, you know, visually and through all your senses, and then taking that stuff that comes in and spinning it through the way that you look at the world and creating new things. But, of course, if all I was thinking about was the next thing on my to-do list, I didn't have an opportunity to let stuff in. So that's been great to help me alter the way I move through the world. And every now and again when I get frenzied, I'll make myself stop and just look at stuff. Very healing thing. You know, when my mom did it, she noticed that she looks at ferns all the time, and she had no idea that ferns were that important to her. But now she's incorporating them, that form, into a lot more of her projects.
More fern fabric, more sketching of ferns. We could just see that in your mom's future now.
Exactly.
That's right. Now, Diane, we don't have a whole lot of time left. Can you just give me one more, like a minute worth of another of your favorites from the book?
Absolutely. There's one I really love called Creative Tough Love, and we're getting a lot of feedback from our readers on it. Mm-hmm. It's taking one quilt from Quilting Happiness or from any source that you're not crazy about, mm-hmm. and taking one block from that quilt and making it out of fabrics that you really love, and seeing how that process transforms your feelings about the quilt design. It's a very powerful transformation. We've had a lot of good reports from readers about that.
Because you also, both of you blog, you and Christina, and you did some blog hops for your book promotion. And so is that where you're getting the feedback? So people have been trying it through there?
Through people reviewing the book, actually. People are calling out the exercises that they like the most, and we're hearing about creative tough love a lot, which surprised me, because anything called tough love, I wasn't sure people were that attracted to, but they did.
Well, you know what, Diane? I like that one, too, the tough love, because I looked through it and I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, that is so true, that just because the quilt isn't appealing to you doesn't mean that if it was in totally different fabric that it might, you know, fabric that you really love. It's perfect.
It's interesting how visceral our reactions to colors and patterns really are, and how much they influence what emotional reaction we have to a piece in general. I had a couple of reviewers say, you know, specifically, I didn't like this particular quilt from the book, and I made the block in these fabrics, and what do you know? It's my favorite quilt in the book now.
Well, this is an extraordinary book. I hope to get Christina on also to talk about it from her standpoint, you know, down the road here a bit. The book is called Quilting Happiness by Christina Lane and Diana Gilliland. Oops, I may have messed it up that time, Diane. No, no, I can repeat
quite
that
all right.
One. You can visit Diane at craftypod.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Pat. It was lots of fun.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You can visit me at patsloan.com. You can visit American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine at allpeoplequilt.com, where you're going to find loads of free patterns, tutorials, videos. Also sign up for the newsletter so that every week you will see what's hot, what's new. And the newsletter is great because it focuses on different topics each week so that you get sort of a collection or curated set of patterns on theme. It might be big quilts one time, it might be holiday quilts another time, or videos. So we'll see you again next week right here.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.